Good evening. We're going to be in Galatians 3, so if you could turn in your Bible, Galatians 3, we'll be looking at verses 6 through 14. Galatians 3, 6 through 14. Let us give attention to the reading of God's Word. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. That is the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to it. When I was living back in Omaha, we attended a college group as part of our church. And one of the things we did is we would go to college campuses and we would do Bible studies. Before the Bible study, one of the things we would do is we would do evangelism. We enjoyed doing evangelism, talking to the students. And to spark our conversation and kind of direct our conversations, one of the questions we had was, if you were to die today, where would you go? After they answered that question, most of them would say heaven. Then we would follow that up with, how do you know you're in right standing with God to deserve that? How do you know you're in right standing with God to deserve that? You see, Paul in Galatians is dealing with the same kind of question because these Judaizers have distorted the gospel. Paul has went to Galatia. He had preached the gospel beforehand. He built up the church. And once he built up the church, he left to go build other churches. Well, while he was gone, these Judaizers, Jewish leaders, would come into the church, infiltrate the church, and they taught that, yes, it is good to believe in Jesus, but you also need to become like a Jew. You also need to be circumcised and observe the law. In other words, believing in Jesus isn't enough. You also need to become Jewish. You need to become like a Jew, because after all, the blessing of Abraham comes to those who are of the Jewish faith, they thought. Paul saw this as an attack on the gospel. And so he wanted to show that one is justified, declared righteous in God's sight by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. The last time I preached this, this Sunday night, we went through verses 1 through 5. And so if you just want to look at that briefly, he was dealing with a series of rhetorical questions to these Galatians, because these Galatians have left the gospel. And he wants them to remember how they were first saved. So he goes, why are you accepting this message from these Judaizers? Are you bewitched or something? Are you cast under the spell? Remember how it was when you first believed. Remember how you received the Holy Spirit. He's appealing to their experience, what they've experienced in the past. And now he wants to continue his doctrine of justification, his defense of justification in our passage here. And he does so by referring to Old Testament text. And he wants to show that justification has been the same throughout. You're declared righteous in the sight of God by faith alone. So in our passage, we're going to see three keys. The first key, we are saved the same way Abraham was, by faith. The second key, if you want to do the law, You have to do the whole law. And then the third key, you're justified by faith in Christ, not law. So let's look at verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So how was Abraham counted righteous? He believed God. Notice Paul doesn't say, well, Abraham, I saw that you were such a good person. You observed the law. And so now based on that, I'm going to declare you righteous. No, what it says is Abraham believed. And by faith alone, God counted him righteous. To be counted righteous is to say God is crediting righteousness to his account. It's another way of saying he's justifying him. We talked about in the youth group to help them understand this word justification. It's the opposite of condemnation. It's to be declared righteous. So Paul is giving us an example of an Old Testament saint to show how salvation has been. God hasn't changed. And his point is this. If this is how Abraham is justified, this is how everyone has been justified. So Paul is actually quoting Genesis 15:6. And this is a portion of the Bible where God is dealing with the Abrahamic covenant. If you remember, God says, you know, I'm going to bless you. You're going to have many descendants. They're going to be numerous. All the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. But the problem is what? He was pretty old, right? And he had no sons up to this point. Despite that, he had faith in God. He had faith that God was going to do this. And it was counted to him as righteousness. It's not because he was such a good person. He was credited an alien righteousness, as Martin Luther called it. So it's given to him by faith. It's imputed. And this is actually Christ's active obedience. This is what this righteousness is. Christ obeying the law. This is what was credited to his account. How can that be? Well, I would argue that he is actually looking to the promise. Genesis 3:15, God says that he's going to send a seed that is going to crush the serpent's head. And he's looking forward to that. So when God said that all the nations are going to be blessed through you, it's through this seed that's going to come through his descendants. He's looking forward in faith. Just as we look back to the cross, he looked forward to that. So he brings up Father Abraham. And the reason he does that is most likely these Jews were claiming that, you know, look at Father Abraham. He's our example. They were saying, you know, he was saved by faith, but he was also circumcised. So we need to be like Abraham. And Paul goes, is that really your argument? Do you even realize when Abraham was circumcised? It was actually 14 years after he was declared righteous. So in other words, to be circumcised has nothing to do with his justification. He was justified long before he was circumcised. Circumcision was just a sign. Abraham was already justified. Turn with me to Romans 4. We're going to look at verse 9, and Paul actually hammers the same point when he's dealing with the Romans. Romans 4, verse 9. He states, for we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believed without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well. And to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who are also walk in the footsteps of faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So Paul goes, don't you know your Bible? What happened first? Genesis 15 or 17? Genesis 15, that's when Abraham was declared righteous. Genesis 17 is when he was circumcised. Now, this is a strong argument because both sides are saying Father Abraham is our example. And Paul clears it up here. He says one is justified by faith alone, not works, just like Abraham was. Let's look at verse 7. Know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. So he goes, understand this. Understand that it's by faith that you're a son of Abraham. Some may come in and say, the Judaizers may have said, you know what, we're Jewish descendants. Abraham is actually our father by birthright. But Paul says, no, it's actually by faith. So he's not referring to being a physical son, but a spiritual son. Galatians 3:29, just a little bit further down, if we're back in Galatians, he says this. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. So Paul goes, look, you don't have to become a Jew to take hold of those promises that were belonging to Abraham. To be a true son of Abraham is to be justified by faith alone, just as it was for Abraham. Verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So he goes, the scripture foresaw that this is what was going to happen. God was going to save the Gentiles also by faith. Notice again, how? By faith. So he goes, this is the same way it's always been. It hasn't changed. There isn't one way for Old Testament saints to be saved and a different way for New Testament saints to be saved. It's all the same. It's by faith alone in Christ. And then notice what he says. Preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you all the nations should be blessed. So what was preached to Abraham? The gospel. The gospel was preached. This is the gospel of Christ. So he goes, all the nations are blessed in Abraham because in Abraham is that seed who's going to crush the serpent's head. He's going to come from Abraham's lineage. This seed is Christ. And as we said earlier, Abraham looked forward to Christ. So Abraham had faith in Christ, just like we have faith in Christ today. We're on the other side looking back to what's already happened. And what he's doing is he's actually quoting Genesis 13:3. And this isn't teaching that everyone nationwide is all blessed because of Abraham, but what it is only those in the nation are blessed who have faith in him, faith in Christ. Those are the ones who are blessed. So it's not teaching universalism. We have faith in Christ and we're justified. We're declared righteous because all those of the nations who believe in the gospel are also saved too. Let's look at verse 9. So then those of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Notice it says only those of faith who are blessed. He doesn't say if you're good enough. He doesn't say if you're circumcised or if you are in the lineage of Abraham, but only those of faith. Those are the ones who are blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? What blessing is he talking about? I would say the blessing of Abraham is the blessing of being declared righteous, to be justified in the sight of God. So all the nations who have faith like Abraham are blessed. They're declared righteous like Abraham, who was the man of faith. He's our example of how we should have faith. So that's the first point. Paul shows us evidence that faith is one who is justified, using Abraham as an example. So our first key was, we're saved the same way Abraham was, by faith. The second key, let's look at that. If you want to do the law, you have to do the whole law. Let's look at verse 10. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. So he goes, look, if you're going to try to trust that you're going to be good enough, if your good will outweigh your bad, if you think Jesus plus good works will earn your favor, you're actually putting yourself under a curse. It's pretty strong. So he goes, if you are actually going to accept this teaching from these Judaizers, saying Jesus plus becoming like a Jew, Jesus plus obeying the law, if you're going to accept that, thinking you're earning blessing, you're actually doing the opposite. You're earning cursing. So Paul goes, that's not how it works. God doesn't grade on a curve. You can't outweigh your good with your bad. Vice versa. Can't outweigh your bad by the good you do. Why would we be under a curse, Paul? Look at what he says. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. He's quoting Deuteronomy 27:6 here. He goes, oh, you want to obey the law, don't you? Okay, well, here's what God demands, absolute perfection. And if you just fail one time, you're under a curse. James 2:10 says this, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails at one point has become accountable of it all. So he goes, if you want to do the law, if you want to go this works righteousness, trying to do it and be good enough, if you want to do that, you better do it all or else you're under a curse. Now, based in context on this verse, Deuteronomy 27:6, what is actually happening here is Israel is about to enter into the promised land. Okay? They're renewing the Mosaic covenant. And God says, you know, if you do my law, you'll live. But if you break my law, you're going to receive a curse. And we all know eventually what happened. They failed. They were exiled. And Paul goes, look, if you want to try and do the law, you can't. You're cursed if you go that route. Matthew 5:48, Jesus said this, therefore, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So the standard's absolute perfection. That's what God demands. And the law was actually not meant for you to earn your way, but instead to show us that you can't keep it. To show us that you need a Savior. It's meant to point us to Christ. It's been said that the law is like a train track that's meant to point you to Christ. But these Judaizers actually lifted up this train track and made it a ladder to try and climb up. That's not the idea here. It's supposed to be to lead us to Christ. Let's look at verse 11. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For the righteous shall live by faith. So in case someone is going to say, you know what, this might be true of everybody else, but I'm good enough. He says, it's evident no one is justified before God by the law. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. So if you're here, if you think, you know, I can just be good enough on my own, if you think like some of these kids thought when we would ask them questions, how they knew they were going to heaven, some would say, you know what? I think I'm good enough. I think God looks at my heart and he knows that I'm good enough. He'll accept me based on that. Others would say, you know what, I'm better than these people. I'm not as bad as these people, so I think God will accept me based on that. God doesn't grade on a curve. He demands absolute perfection. And he says, all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. So all have broken God's law. And Paul goes, look, if you're seeking to justify yourself by the law, you're actually just putting yourself on death row. You're doing the opposite. And then he says this, he quotes Habakkuk 2:4, for the righteous shall live by faith. This should be fresh in our head, as Pastor Jim preached on this a few weeks ago. The original context, remember, with Habakkuk, he is complaining to God about Israel's disobedience. They have become unfaithful. Israel failed in their promise to keep the law. Just what they committed to earlier, which we read, all these things we will do, they failed. And Habakkuk's going to God and pleading, God, do something about this. And he does. He sends people more wicked, right, to take care of them. That's not the answer Habakkuk was expecting. But God says the righteous live by faith. Faith that God's going to be faithful to his promise. And so Paul quotes this. And this is a passage that's quotes numerous times in the New Testament as well. And the answer is to live by faith for deliverance, which is ultimately fulfilled in Christ. So he goes, look, in light of all that I've said up to this point, it's clear we have to be justified by faith. You can't be justified, declared righteous in the sight of God by you trying to say, yes, I believe in Jesus, but I also need to obey these laws. The law is meant to show us how bad we are. The law is like a mirror, James talks about. It shows us our sin. It shows us we fail. And it points us to the one who will keep it for us, Christ. So if you want to be a righteous person in God's sight, you have to rest in Christ. Paul's going to continue to hammer this. Let's look at verse 12. He says, but the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. What does it mean the law's not of faith? He's saying these two things are in complete antithesis to each other. They're two completely different things. You can't mix them. You can't have both. You can't choose both. It's either one or the other. If you add law, you got to keep going on that treadmill and you have to hope you never fail. Do it perfectly. If you choose faith, it's by resting in Christ, looking to him in faith, by grace alone and Christ alone. And then he says this, the one who does them shall live by them. This is a quote from Leviticus 18:5. The law says, do this and live. If you do it, you live. There's blessing. If you don't, there's cursing. And he's speaking of one who is trying to do the law. And it states this principle of law. Faith, on the other hand, is looking to Christ. It's looking to someone else who will do the law for you. The law demands complete, perfect obedience. And we've all fallen on this. So we have faith in Christ who kept it for us perfectly. He obeyed the law on our behalf. So we've seen we're saved the same way Abraham was, by faith. We've seen if you want to do the law, okay, you have to do the whole law. Last, let's see that you are justified by faith in Christ, not law. So let's look at verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So here Paul gives the hope. He's been hammering that the law is not the way. He's been hammering that we cannot do it, that we fail, we fall short. We fail to give this perfect obedience, but he goes, it's faith in Christ that redeems. Before faith, we were all under law, all under sin, and under the curse of the law. But he goes, Christ has redeemed you. This word redeemed, it means to purchase or to pay a price. On this water bottle here, it has a redemption value of 5 cents in Connecticut and Hawaii and other states. So if someone wanted this water bottle, I would give it there and they would give me 5 cents. However, here, we have been under the curse. We're under the law, and Jesus had purchased us by his perfect obedience and then going to the cross, paying the punishment that we deserve. So he goes, Christ paid the price for us. He redeemed us. And this was redemption was paid by his blood. How did he do that? By becoming a curse for us. So he goes, when Jesus went to the cross, he became a curse for you. He became a curse for me. He took the curse we deserve because we failed to keep God's covenant. We failed to be perfect. He, though, is an innocent substitute. He took the curse for us. He bore our sins. He paid the punishment for everyone who would ever believe in him. The wrath of God was on him, and God treated him as a covenant breaker in our place. And Paul goes, look, if you still want to think you can earn your way to heaven, because your good will outweigh your bad, look how serious God takes sin. He will punish his perfect son on your behalf. And to think you can do it? Oh, foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? And then it says, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. This, again, is another Old Testament text that he builds on. It's from Deuteronomy 21:23. Back then, when someone under the Jewish law, would break the law so severe, they would deserve death. They were actually stoned. And then they would take their body and hang them on a tree as an example for everyone to see. This is what happens if you break God's covenant. This is what happens if you break God's law. Christ became that curse for us. He was treated as a lawbreaker. He was treated how we should be treated. He did that for us. He became a curse for us. We received, on the other hand, Christ's perfect righteousness on our behalf. And this is because Christ was made a curse for us. What a glorious gospel. What a glorious Christ that we have who will be willing to humble himself, come down, earn righteousness for us, and then pay our price. Pay the redemption value. Let's look at verse 14. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. So notice in the beginning, he says, in Christ Jesus. It's only in Christ. There's no other way. In the gospel, having faith in the gospel, having faith in Christ's perfect life, his death on the cross. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. That's us. He did it for all the nations who would ever believe in him. The same blessing of righteousness that was declared to Abraham is the same blessing of righteousness that we have by faith if you are in Christ. Praise God. And then he finishes, he says, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. We receive the Spirit as well. You have faith in Christ. You receive this, the Holy Spirit who is in your life, who helps you live out the law, not as a way to earn merit, not as a way to earn favor with God, but out of love and thankfulness for what Jesus has already done. So this justification, this faith, gives us great hope. We rely on Christ, not ourselves. So like we would ask these kids, how do you know if you're really going to heaven? On what basis? Examine. Let us all examine ourselves and see if we're putting any kind of work effort to earn favor with God, that we're actually doing the opposite, coming under a curse, that we should rest fully in Christ. As Jim was saying earlier today, the human tendency is to always kind of fall back and forget the gospel. We constantly need to be feeding on the gospel, need to be hearing it. Even though we know this, we need to be cherishing this great truth and hearing it over and over again. And then God does have a law. The law is good. And we should want to live by it, right? But it's not as a way to earn favor. It's a way to show our thankfulness and love based on what Christ has already done. And we're going to fail. But we can have comfort and joy knowing that the price for our failure has been paid in full. As you live here each day, you wake up each morning, remember that we are in Christ. We've been declared righteous by faith alone. So you can rest knowing that Christ has already earned your righteousness, everything that you need. So we've seen that we are saved the same way Abraham was, by faith. We've seen if you want to do the law, you have to do the whole law. That's the standard. And then if you're a Christian today, remember that you're justified by faith in Christ alone, not law. We receive this great blessing of justification by looking and resting in Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you give us this great truth of our justification that Paul zealously defends. And we can see this great defense in Scripture here. And we can rest assured that it's all by faith alone, by grace alone, all in Christ alone, that we can't do anything to earn favor, that it's already been done in Christ. Praise you for Christ. Help us as we go out through our day to remember this great truth, to remember the gospel, and then to live out of thankfulness and love and obedience to Christ. In your name, amen.